We are here to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on this, looks like, going to be a beautiful day. I'll say it that way. I asked last week, I think I've asked for the last couple of weeks, had enough rain? My goodness. A couple of announcements before we begin our worship celebration. Today is Communion Sunday, and we celebrate open communion. Anyone who knows Jesus as Lord, been washed in the blood, can celebrate with us. In fact, I think it's kind of neat today because this kind of a group with all of you friends who have joined us from various churches is kind of an example of what communion is supposed to be about. When we celebrate communion, we celebrate with all believers everywhere throughout the earth, all together, even though physically we are not in the same location. Everyone is invited to a lunch after the service today. And the other announcement is for the church council. We'll be meeting on Wednesday evening. That's also in the bulletin. I'd like to change up our program a little bit and start by reading a portion of Ephesians chapter 1. This is coming in as interim pastor for our fellowship. I'm a part of this church. I've been a part of this church for 30 plus years. So we are all family together. And this is what I agree with Paul, the prayer for us as a group of people. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, give to us, a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of Him, that is Jesus. I pray that the eyes of your heart, our eyes of our heart, may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Hold on to that word inheritance for later. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ. And you can read that at a later time. But the powerful words in there, what Paul is basically saying is, what we've got is so incredible, so tremendous, so powerful. I hope as you walk your Christian faith, it sinks in. How great a salvation this is. So if you would stand with me and read responsively the call to worship. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say,
if the Lord had not been on our side,
we have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's nest, snare. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Would you turn with me to hymn number 568, Come Share the Lord.
Yeah. We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through his loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here, he breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one who loves the Lord is now our gracious soul. Come to the bread, come drink the wine, share the Lord. We are which the Lord is here. Though unseen, he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of the Lord. Now we are the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
Our precious Lord Jesus, it is with delight and deep satisfaction and awe that we welcome you into our presence today, to work with each of us, touching our hearts, making us more like you and making us want to be more like you. And as we pause, our Father God, we acknowledge you, the Lord and God over all, our Father. We acknowledge you, bless you, glorify you, and we come to you through the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
First lesson, if you will turn with me, is page 428, and that is Psalm 48, is what we will start with this morning. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. In the city of our God, his holy mountain, it is beautiful in its loftiness. The joy of the whole earth, like the utmost heights of Zaphon, is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen, in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, God makes her secure forever. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go around her, count her towers. Consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end.
Amen.
The second lesson is on page 768 in your Pew Bible, and that is Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the word of God.
Join me in prayer. Our Holy Father, precious Father, Father of us, your children, we come to you with joy and gladness in our hearts for the adoption as children, your children, through the blood of your Son, Jesus. We come to you thanking you for all of the blessings that you've sent into our lives, for calling us, for sanctifying us, and for glorifying us according to your word and your will. We thank you that you have made us a family for all, with all who've gone before us, with all who all over the world each day, every day, honor you, glorify you, your family, larger than we can even imagine. And as we heard in your word, we look forward to that day where we will all be gathered together to celebrate your glory and the glory of your Son, Jesus. We ask you for this week, Lord, that you would be with all of our community partners, our public service personnel, military, law enforcement, first responders, healthcare folks, chaplains, social workers, all those folks who are serving us as people, caring for us, responding to emergencies. Give them wisdom, keep them safe in their professions. We lift up to you Carl and Sue Peterson, missionaries to Mexico. We agree with their prayer request that you would give them discernment, creativity, persistence, joy, and grace in their work. And we pray for our camp this summer, for the campers, the guests, the staff, that they would be able to experience and embrace the hope and salvation of Jesus this summer. We ask that you would help the staff in training so that they could bond together for a common purpose of serving you. We would also ask that you would give them health and protection for the summer and wisdom in those special circumstances that happen unexpectedly. We would ask, Lord, that you would continue to heal our brothers and sisters who have encountered worldly, earthly circumstances such as illness. Continue to heal them. You know, Lord, that our prayer is that you would restore them to complete quality of life. We thank you that we can ask of you requests that are beyond our ability to perform, so that you can become involved. Lastly, our Father, we would ask that you would open our hearts and our minds today in this short time as we share in what your Son established, the covenant, the testament, the inheritance for us as heirs, celebrated through his Last Supper with his disciples that he taught us to do in remembrance of him. Be with us and minister to us that you might be glorified. And we thank you. Through the name and the blood of your Son, in whom you are well pleased, your Son Jesus. Amen. Thank you. I got things out of order. We will be receiving this morning's tithes and offerings as the Lord leads you. Moment of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for all the gifts that you give to us, not just material gifts, but the gift of your Son Jesus, wisdom, talent, abilities, to perform the jobs that we have. We thank you so much. And we return to you a gift on our part. We ask you to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us? Sing the doxology.
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing
nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Personally, I hate funerals. I hate them because it's saying goodbye. But we know in Christ that we have hope. And it's not a goodbye as I'll never see you again. It's a I'll see you later until we meet in heaven. And so, you know, I think it's cool that we're having a chance to do the Lord's Supper today. But it's a reminder, hey, are we right with God? Have we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? And if not, that's something that can be done today. And if we have, it's also a call to action, realizing that in 50 years, those of us that have trusted Christ, we're going to be standing in heaven, or even less. And realizing what we do here on earth is going to matter. And, you know, for my kids, okay, they got 90 years, right, to keep, you know, eating all their greens and stuff. But, I mean, you know, but less than 100 years, we're all going to be standing in heaven. And the key is, what do we do here on earth that makes a difference for eternity? So, trust this song be encouragement to you. And that'll be a reminder that we're called to live for eternity and make our lives count for the things that really matter.
Inspire them to obey. Oh, may all
Amen. I don't know about you, but that's my commitment. No matter what. Well, I have a unique opportunity today because I think lunch is going to be about noon.
A little before noon. Before 11:30.
Oh, before 11:30.
Coffee first, then chicken dinner.
Okay. Okay. And it's 3 minutes after 10.
Coffee's at 10:30.
Oh, I see. Okay. I misheard you. Okay. So this is going to be fairly short because we have communion today. But the last couple of weeks as I was preparing, this is actually the first communion that I will be officiating at as interim pastor. Started on May 1st. I officiated as a speaker before as we were rotating speakers through the years. So I thought I'm going to take a good look at this in the Word of God, and I'm going to try to really understand what this Last Supper is all about. So I began the study, and some of you know me, I got into the weeds. About 10 pages of notes. I whittled it down to 5, and this morning I only have 3. So I'm going to try to do my best to help us through this. I'd like to begin reading Luke chapter 22, verses 15 through 20. This is Luke's account of the institution of the Last Supper. Luke 22, starting with verse 15. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And having taken a cup, when he had given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And having taken some bread, when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me on the table. So the word I'd like to highlight is that word, covenant. So, of course, I looked it up in the Greek. What is a covenant? And I was surprised to find it is not what I thought it was. As Americans, we think of a covenant as an agreement, like a business arrangement. You pay me $400 and I'll give you cell phone service for a month. Or whatever crazy contracts we have nowadays. You know, we used to have free television. And now we're paying lots if you have television. That's what we usually think of as a covenant, an agreement. We think of a covenant of marriage, an agreement between two people. And when I opened my Greek lexicon, I was both surprised and amazed to find out that this Greek word that appears here coming from Jesus is something quite different. And in fact, this Greek word only appears in the New Testament related to the death, blood, sacrifice of Jesus himself. That's the only appearance in all of the New Testament. And we're not going to be able to look at all of them. So what does this word mean? What's the two parts of your Bible? The Old Testament. And the New? What's a testament? The Old Testament. What does that mean? The New Testament. Well, the reason we have those words is because there isn't an English word that is comparable to this Greek word, covenant, which can also be translated testament, that Jesus used. So what is a testament? So I tried to help you out. I gave it to you in the title for the message today, Jesus' Last Will and Testament. That helps us understand. What is a last will and testament? It's something that somebody writes out, a will, that declares what the heirs, whoever they decide the heirs are, is going to get. And so that written document is valid. And it sits there. But it isn't effective until what? My last will and testament, which, by the way, I haven't written out yet. If I had written it out, it's effective when? When I die. How do you put all of that in an English word? We don't have an English word for it. And so we call this the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now you might think of testimony like we have in court, but testament is just that, that last will and testament. The Last Supper of Jesus, that is his last will and testament. So I looked, tried to find an English word that would help us to understand this when we read in these scriptures in the New Testament the word covenant. Now we are the Evangelical Covenant Church. And one of our standards is the faith that unites us is much greater than the issues that might divide us. We believe, as many Christians do, that we are joined together with believers of many faiths, any who believe in the Lord as their Savior. And I appreciate your admonition earlier. Yes, we've got to make that decision. We have got to know Jesus. We in the covenant, We in the covenant highlight Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. So that's what a covenant is, an agreement, a coming together, partnership. We are a partnership. God's covenants, I'm using the word covenant correctly here now. There are five of them, you know them. The covenant with Adam, the covenant with Noah, which was sealed with the rainbow, okay? No, God is not going to flood the earth again. That was his agreement with Noah. And then we have the covenant with Moses, the Mosaic covenant for the Jewish people. And then we have the covenant with David for the reign over the nation of Israel. And then, of course, the fifth covenant. But the fifth covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, is different from the other ones. That's why you read in the New Testament references to the Abrahamic covenant over and over again. And it is connected with Jesus' last will and testament. So the word that I came up with instead of covenant is inheritance. Now, that's not the right word. Inheritance is the result of the covenant. But we just don't have an English word that expresses what this covenant is, this inheritance is, this testament. Funny word, testament is. So I'd like to read it out of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. And I'm going to read from the New International Version. I study out of the New American Standard Version, but I have a confession to make. I'm beginning to like the New International Version better. I've just got to get one with bigger print than this. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. This kind of gets it. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. Now there they use the word will. That's better. That helps us a little bit. So it's effective when the person dies. It's passed on as an inheritance to the heirs, usually the children. Now, I'm working now on my fourth estate that I'm helping families, our families, through navigating. And in some cases, there is a will. When my brother and sister-in-law died, in that order, they had a will, but they had no children. So they had to designate in the will what the inheritance would go to, who it would go to, how much, and so forth. In one of the estates, there was no will. And if you go to court, as I discovered, when there's no will, the question that they ask is, did that person have children? And did that person have grandchildren? In the United States, or at least in the state of Minnesota, since I haven't done this anywhere else, I discovered that if there's no will, the inheritance is to the children, grandchildren. Those are who are considered heirs. Not brothers and sisters, not mom and dad. But if there is no will, and if there are no children, then you can consider brothers and sisters, mom and dad, and so forth. And then you get to go to court and argue with everybody who wants what and try to figure it out. But in the case that we're talking about here, this is the last will and testament of Jesus. This is his last will and testament. Not a contract. A testament that went into effect upon his death. So I'm going to try to give you another word to help you when you read the New Testament and you come across the word covenant. because, again, we don't have an English word that really describes this. So you could insert the word testament, but testament doesn't mean anything to us. So I'll give you another alternative. When you read covenant, read blood covenant. And that'll help you to get close to what that Greek word means. Blood covenant means the inheritance upon the death of Jesus. Now I could give you the Greek word and describe, it's made up of two different words, and get into the weeds again. And I'm trying not to, so I won't. So let me just outline a couple of the elements of Jesus' last will and testament. In Galatians chapter 3 and 4, Paul says, this last will and testament is to the children, as we heard outlined earlier. You have to be a child of God. You have to be a child of God coming through Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You have to be a kid. Children of promise. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're told that us Gentiles, any Israelites here today, by the way, any of you know that you've got Jewish heritage? With all these new heritage things going, you might have found out that back somewhere along the line you have Jewish heritage. If you do, you are part of the original promise of God. But us Gentiles were told in Ephesians that we were once excluded from this last will and testament. And then later we were included, partly because Israel rejected the offer, as a nation anyway. And then in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22, we're told that Jesus, the writer of the last will and testament, is the one who guarantees that last will and testament. He is the guarantor. And that, again, is a legal term. The one who makes sure that that last will and testament is effective. We've used the word in Minnesota, executor of the estate. Minnesota changed the law a few years ago, and it's no longer executor. It's personal representative, the one who guarantees that that will be taken care of just the way it's written. In our case, Jesus is the one who makes sure. And then I'd like to read for you from, again, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 through 24. Part of the reason I have trouble with a small print is I've got to find the trifocal somewhere. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborns whose names are written in heaven, in that last will and testament. Our names are written. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of this new covenant, New Testament, new inheritance, blood covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of angels. We have come to a new people, a new place. We live in the kingdom of the living God, even though we still live on earth. That is what Jesus has purchased. Question. You may have been asked. I asked this, I think, a week ago. Someone may come up to you and say, how can a loving God send people to hell? Easy answer. He doesn't. People choose. This is so easy. All you have to do is choose to be a Christian. All you have to do is choose to make Jesus Lord of your life, and you become a child of the covenant, the testament, the inheritance. That's all it takes. We're told in John 3:16 that Jesus paid the penalty. The word is redeemed. The world. For God so loved the world. The world. Jesus paid the price for the world so that anyone can choose. And I don't know if you've had the same experience that I have, but in talking to people, I've found people don't want to choose. And it boggles my mind. It just amazes me that they don't want to choose Jesus. But they do. And God honors that choice. And so when talking to one person one time, we got into this discussion, and I told him that. I said, God doesn't send people to hell. People choose. And we were respectful to each other, but we were contentious at the time. And he said, well, how can that be? Because there are people who have never heard. And I just said to him, well, today you have. And it just stopped him in his tracks. He still chose after his name was John, and we had this theological discussion, I'll bet, for two and a half hours. And he still chose at the end of it, but he did say, I'll think about it. He still chose not to choose Jesus. And again, I don't understand that. Now today, we are, any of us, all of us who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have an inheritance. The New Testament says that we are joint heirs with Jesus. What does Jesus have? Think of what Jesus has. We're joint heirs with Jesus. So I'm going to give you an invitation today as we go to sharing the communion together. The invitation is this. If you're a joint heir with Jesus, and Jesus has everything good, salvation, healing, health. I'm actually getting to the place, and we'll study this in a few weeks. I'm getting to the place, instead of praying for healing, let's start praying for health. Let's get ahead of the game. So if you want to pray for health today, for wisdom, for help with finances, last night we had a prayer for traveling mercies. whatever it is in that inheritance, as we celebrate the blood covenant today, receive from the guarantor of the inheritance, Jesus himself. We're told in Scripture that whenever two or three gather together in the name of Jesus, he is in our midst. We can't see him, touch him, but he is here, and he is going to be sharing his last will and testament, his last supper with us. I'd like to read from Paul's letter in Corinthians, chapter 11, starting with verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus, we remember you. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, the new testament, the new blood covenant, the inheritance in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Would you pray with me? Our Lord, we want to thank you that you loved your Father so much that you were willing to vacate heaven and all that you had there with him to come down to this earth to die for us. We just can't express our appreciation, our love, our thanks for what you have done. Because you and your Father loved us so much to do that. And because of your great love for us, we return our love to you, and today we share with you your last will and testament, your last supper. We celebrate with you, with all of our brothers and sisters all around the world who are your children, the children of our Father, and joint heirs with you. We ask that you would forgive our sins, cleanse us, renew us in fellowship with you if we need that, so that as we share with you, our hearts are pure and we can receive healing, health, salvation, joy, wisdom, peace, strength, mercy, grace, all that you have for us. Walk amongst us as we share. Thank you, Jesus. In your precious name, amen. Could I ask the servers to come forward, please? And that last night, that would have been for us Thursday night, but for them it was Friday because they went from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. That's how they counted their days. So that last night, which led into the last day, Jesus sat with his disciples, us, and he took bread. For the Jewish people, it was a piece of bread. It was about that big, and he broke it. He broke it because symbolic that his body was going to be broken. And he said, "Take and eat in remembrance of me." Would you please? Do this in remembrance of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. If you read some of the Gospels, you'll discover that there were several times that they ate and several times that they drank. And so it says, after supper, Jesus took the cup and gave it to his disciples. And he said to them, "Drink all of it, drink you all of it. This is the new covenant, New Testament. This is your new inheritance with me. Forever." nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. So we celebrate together. We are celebrating in the inheritance with Jesus forever. Take and drink. Thank you. I don't know about you, but there are many times my prayer time, I just tell the Lord, why? Why am I so fortunate to have found Jesus when I wasn't even looking for him? The love of God is just so incredible. So let's move to 383. And if you would stand, I would appreciate that. And then after we sing this, we will sing the blessing together. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be close, drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious fleeting side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach until I rest thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious fleeting sign. And we sing in concluding our service, we sing the blessing to each other. So I would invite you to do that. Welcome each other. Greet each other and bless each other in the name of Jesus. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you
and give you peace.